fear. Oh, it comes off Hughes. A wee bit better. It is McHugh.
Hello and welcome to the MSC podcast. Tonight, myself, Jane Buster, welcoming along Andrew to discuss yesterday's disappointing defeat to St Johnstone. We'll discuss Motherwell's progress in the Edinburgh Cup, some controversial comments from Colin O'Neill regarding the current setup at Fir Park, and whatever takes our fancy over the next 45 minutes or so. Guys, welcome along.
Cheers.
How you doing?
Yeah, cheers for having me on.
Jay, I'll start with yourself as always in yesterday's defeat. A very difficult one to take. A goal right at the death when we're a man down from a set piece. It's becoming a bit of the story of the season. Some hard luck stories. Not creating much in front of goal. And really getting what we deserve from games, which is absolutely nothing. It seems for all intents and purposes we're in a relegation battle.
Oh yeah, that's us definitely in a League of Four. You know, ourselves, Dundee, St Mirren and Accies, I think. Although, I think everybody's kind of agreed that this trio of games are really, really important to our season. But I thought St Johnstone was going to be massive because if we could have managed to get a result there, it would have kept us sort of connected to that kind of mid-table place with those kind of teams around there. Having lost on Saturday, I don't think there's any doubt now that we are very much in a relegation battle. It's going to be between ourselves, Accies, Dundee and St Mirren, as I've said. Obviously, still to play St Mirren and Dundee in the coming weeks. Accies game today, I thought they looked half decent. Probably should have beaten Rangers overall. They created far more chances than we created. They looked far more up for the fight than we do. And that's worrying. So it's really hard to see where we go for here. You know, I'm sure we'll no doubt dissect it and talk about it. But it's a worrying time to be a Motherwell fan. You can kind of see why. There's quite the kind of backlash, not just in social media and on the forums, but even at full time yesterday, the boos ringing out there, the shouts, because it's very, very negative at the moment. It's hard to see where the positives are. There's times you can see a side who are languishing at the bottom end of the division. They're not getting the results, but you know they're playing good football, or they're trying to achieve something, or they're waiting on players coming back for injury. Whatever it is, there's usually something to keep the fans positive or still believing that there's a corner to be turned in the near future. For us, I just don't see it. For us, I just see a 3-5-2 formation, hoofball, and absolutely nothing coming from it whatsoever. We're now in a situation where. Just about every team, I would imagine, in the top flight now knows how to beat us. Your better sides like Aberdeen and Hearts know that all they need to do is come out the traps fairly quickly, get an early goal, and then just sit in and watch us frustrate ourselves because we can't get back in the game. And teams like St Johnstone and Livingston know that to get a result, all they need to do is sit in organised for, you know, 70, 80 minutes and then maybe try and nick a goal late on. We are so easy to play against. We are so predictable. And my big worry is that we can sit all day and talk about how St Mirren and Dundee, man for man, are perhaps, you know, poorer than we are. But if they have managers who have, you know, got a bit of common sense and have watched us this season, and if they've got players who can stick to a game plan, then they can take points off us all day long because we are so easy to play against.
Buster, at times this one it wasn't as bad as the Livingston performance. I think the first half especially, we were very much the better side. Start of the second half, Curtis Main passes up a good chance, and from there on, St Johnstone looked more dangerous, despite the fact that they didn't really come particularly close until the last 10 minutes. That's the only real positive or positive spin I can put on the game.
I don't really know how you're managing to pick any positives, to be honest with you. Granted, it wasn't as... I would say it was more a case of two terrible football teams playing terrible, or attempting to play terrible football. It was absolutely there's no chances whatsoever being created. As you know, as Jay says, there everybody basically knows how to play against us. You just don't have to keep it simple, basically, because we're going to punt it at your centre halves, and you know a centre half. It's bread and butter for them just to knock the ball at this guy, go up and win a challenge. I don't honestly know what we're doing. I don't think MD and the team basically knows what we're doing really either. There's very little football being played for the halfway line forward. You know, a couple of times we maybe get it at the back, we knock it a bit, a wee bit, and then it gets hoofed. It's 50, 60 yards. It's fucking awful, to be honest with you. I honestly don't know what I bother going for. You know, I sort of said on Twitter on Saturday morning, I was looking forward to it, but as soon as I see the team and I see it's going to be a 3-5-2, I know, you know, all the excitement will just be drained from me. And again, you know, that's exactly what happened. I got caught up with yourselves. Ashes of the team was out. I had a look at it and it was blatantly obvious how it was set out. And I thought to myself, here we fucking go. You know, and it played out exactly as I thought it would. And by about, as you say, when Curtis Main scuffed that chance, I think, to be fair, if you'd give any one of us that kick at the goal there, any one of us would have scored it. Turnbull, I think it was, played a great ball or a tap to the defender's head, and he was in. And I don't know how he didn't hit the target. It's been sort of typical of Curtis Main, to be honest with you. You know, he scored a couple of goals in, you know, two or three games ago, and you thought he maybe was coming on to it again, but it's not happened. And as I say, MD, who didn't see St Johnston scoring for the last 20 minutes onwards, must be fucking blown, because I don't know, to be honest with you. It's not something I look forward to, the Fitba. It's always kind of joked that, oh, the Fitba's the worst hour and a half of your Saturday afternoon. And now it definitely is. It's I don't know where we go for you, to be honest with you. It's utter shite.
Andrew, I think a lot of what the guys said, to summarise there, is it's the same old story, the same type of performance, the same formation, and the same results in the end as well. The reaction, again, after the game, it's the same old players to get lined up to discuss it, and we go again, patter, starts over again. It's getting very frustrating. Bigger picture as well, isn't it? To be fed these same lines, and after the Hearts Cup defeat, we were told it was a spirited performance. We stopped the rot when we got a point against Livingston. Then yesterday, it will be highlighted that we only had 10 men in the field when we conceded the deciding goal. But really, for me, the fact of the matter is, it's far from good enough.
Yeah, no, I think everyone's been spot on, to be honest. I was of the persuasion that I thought we could may have got a result against St Johnston. I thought if we did, we could maybe start to push up the table. But and I thought, to be fair, for the vast majority of the game, I wouldn't say we dominated, but I thought we were the better team. Obviously, it hit the bar. Main somehow didn't hit the target for that chance. But it goes from the lineup. You had to look at it. I think it was three changes were made, but everyone could see it was going to be the same 3-5-2. After the Livingston game last week, everyone was just pick sick of it. I don't really think he was going to change the formation, but to see the lineup and you say, "Oh, here we go again," it's getting frustrating now. And we're now 9 games into the season. Played 9 games. It's not as if it's been the start. You can go, oh, well, we've still got time to turn this round. Christmas is far approaching, and we're still languishing down in 10th. It's very worrying indeed.
Jay, Stephen Robinson did make changes to his personnel, handing David Turnbull his first start of the season. Charles Dunn returned from injury as well. I think Dunn, in his case, I wouldn't have expected him to play the 90 minutes, obviously. Aaron Taylor-Sinclair went off in the first half, and that possibly ensured that we would need Charles Dunn for the 90 minutes. I thought Turnbull was a real bright spark. For an hour, he was possibly the best player on the pitch. After that, his race was run. He was absolutely dead in his feet. Charles Dunn as well was showing clear signs of fatigue come the latter stages of the game. Good to see these guys been introduced to the starting 11, and Dunn's case been reintroduced to the starting 11. But if you continue to persist with this same formation, it's hard to see how the results are going to change.
That's absolutely spot on. You know, you were talking earlier about trying to find positives for the game. David Turnbull all day long is the positive. I thought he was, as you said, the best player in the park. I mean, the way I kind of put it on Twitter last night was, you know, we've all kind of been there when you're playing fives or sevens asides, and a guy turns up who's maybe played, who plays at junior level or something like that, and they just basically glide through the game, looking in spells really frustrated that they're a level above and nobody else is on the same wavelength. It was almost like that with David Turnbull at times. Now, I'm not trying to get ahead of ourselves here. We understand he's an under-20s player. He isn't a class above the guys in the first team because he's still very early on in his career. But it just had that feel about it. There was a guy who was prepared to get his foot in the ball, nice passes, nice flicks, some great through balls, and yet he was surrounded by absolute dog meat, you know, the kind of players who were just not on the same level as him whatsoever. And it genuinely, as much as I'm sure he would have been delighted, you know, with his performance and to be in the first team, I'm not sure that in the current setup it's actually beneficial for any of our under-20s to be playing in that team. I think David Turnbull's actual development as a young footballer is probably going to be better served being surrounded by guys who are prepared to be positive, to get the ball on the ground and to play good football. You know, I think he will become a better player and over the next couple of months at least, playing with Hasty, Livingston and Scott, than he will, you know, in that team on a Saturday. And that's the most worrying thing. And, you know, and you mentioned Taylor Sinclair getting taken off there. Everybody has made quite a big deal this season about the signing policy and how the recruitment's not been good enough. The fact that Taylor Sinclair went off that early means that we played the majority of that game yesterday with an 11 from last season. It wasn't, you know, Donnelly wasn't there. Taylor Sinclair went off early. You know, even Johnson, who has done reasonably well this season and I can't believe doesn't start games. You know, Sam and Gordon, all the guys that are kind of singled out as a good example of how poor the recruitment was. The majority of yesterday was played with a side pieced together of players who were there last season, and yet it was still the absolute dross that were getting served up this season. And that's even more worrying because you're not talking about guys that have been brought in who can't cut it. You're talking about the guys who, yes, in spells last season were poor, but got us to those cup finals, were able to fight to the end of games, were able to grind out results that, you know, kept us safe for relegation. And it looks like a completely different side. It looks like completely different players. And that's what's so difficult to see where we go from there. Because, as I said earlier, you're not coming away thinking, well, if that had, you know, we're obviously trying to do this or, you know, this will go our way. I just don't see where the progress is going to be. Even if we go to St Mirren Park and win and then beat Dundee, you know, and everything will be bright and rosy and, you know, it'll all be about how that's us, you know, starting to look at, you know, that we're back on looking up the table and things like that. I just don't see what it is we're trying to achieve. I don't see what the game plan is. I don't see what it is we're trying to do. It's almost, you know, at times, as much as I really like Stephen Robinson, at times it kind of feels like someone who's bored the Football Manager and is just hitting continue game. Like relentlessly, you know, it's the same lineup, the same style of football. And if it doesn't work this week, we'll do it next week. And if it doesn't work, we'll do it the week after. And we'll just do it over and over and over again. When the vast majority of Motherwell fans, you know that it's not working, can see it's not working, and yet find themselves in utter disbelief every Saturday when we line up exactly the same way and try and play the same way that hasn't served us well this entire season.
Let's continue discussing Stephen Robinson then, Buster, and his future at the club. I think the tide is very much turning against Robinson. It's a results-driven game, of course it is, but I think as supporters, we can maybe disregard results to a certain extent if we're getting even half-decent performances. We're getting nowhere near that just now. He's got huge games coming up in the horizon. St Mirren away and then a home fixture against Dundee. For me, that is now two games to save his job. I think it has got to that drastic a stage.
I don't disagree. I think that, you know, Livingston at home, St Johnstone at home, St Mirren away. Is it Dundee away? Sorry, did you say, or is that at home as well?
Dundee at home.
Is it home? So, again, there's four games. You know, we already had a wee sort of mini chat. With Marty, my mate Marty, about this, you know, Livy, St Johnston, Dundee, those three games, St Mirren, then obviously Dundee after it, taking that into consideration as well. You know, you'd expect us to start at least picking up some points. All right, we got a point at Livingston, and as I think it was said at the time, it wasn't the worst result. It wasn't the worst result. Just like you said, you know, it wouldn't have been the worst result if we drew with St Johnstone as well. But there is absolutely zero football being played. And as you said, it's a result-driven business in the entertainment industry. I'm not usually one for moaning about entertainment or whatever. And even, you know, even the sort of rough and tough stuff last year, long balls, direct, fair enough. But we were putting it about. We were closing teams down. We were doing this, doing that. And, you know, it might not be Barcelona, but it was entertaining at times as well. Granted, there was times where we were absolutely shite as well, but, you know, we had it working well at points there, and, you know, as I say, two cup finals got us up on our feet at times. But as you say, Robinson in general, the whole transfers over the summer has been atrocious. You know, there's maybe two players who you would think could be worthy of first team jersey, Danny Johnson, and the only other player I'm even thinking is obviously the guy who's a sub goalie, because I think, as we've sort of discussed before, he looks all right after a couple of showings, but we all thought Carson was going, and he's got a lot of experience. Again, he could be no very good either, but we don't know. But again, as I say, summer was fucking terrible as well, absolutely terrible. And I just don't understand what our plan is, what we're thinking, why, what did he train all week today? Did he actually stand in the 18-yard box, you know, at either end of the park at training, and just bump the ball forward to each other and see what happens? Because that's what they're doing on a Saturday. That's what they're doing in this. I mean, seriously, when it comes to, you know, training, and guys like, you know, Curtis Main, Ryan Bowman, Danny Johnson, whatever. What did he do in training with him? Because on a Saturday, they are literally just punting it at them or over their head for them to chase. And, you know, there's obviously some benefits of playing that way if it's successful, or, you know, if you can get somebody to run into one of the channels or whatever. But we're absolutely shite. I think we've scored one goal in games against fucking Livingston, St Johnstone and Hamilton at home. And we probably created about six chances in total in the last five or six decent chances in total in the last five or six games. And that's just no fucking good enough. Whether or no you're for or against Robinson keeping his job, use personal, I mean, as you say, the tide has turned massively. Me, myself, I was all sort of for, you know, letting him continue, seeing if he can change it, but he's obviously no fucking willing to change it. There's no desire whatsoever to try anything other than this three centre half. Don't get me wrong, I know he tried ATS there and left back at Saturday when he obviously got injured or whatever, but Richard Tate, you know, as I said, he's on Saturday. Richard Tate is by far one of the players in the team who you'd be like, you know what, he's might not have been great, but he's definitely not the biggest offender, you know, of being shite, basically. For Tate to be dropped, I thought, yeah, it's a bit harsh on him, but let's see what happens here. Again, same 3-5-2 shite, same long ball shite, same zero creativity anywhere near the last, you know, the last third of the pitch. And to be fair, when you first spoke to me, I said there was no positives about Saturday. I was wrong about that, because David Turnbull, as you said, put in another fine performance. Again, he'd done it last year at Partick Thistle, couple other games as well. But David Turnbull was actually actually pretty good yesterday, all things considered. But I don't honestly know what the answer is, because I don't think. You know, I don't like to think that Motherwell can go about sacking their managers willy-nilly. I don't think we can afford anything like that. I don't think it's wise to do things like that. But at what point do you draw the line? Because as you says, he's got probably the next two games to save his job. And, you know, by that, you're probably thinking at least 4 points out of six. You know, if he gets 4 points out of six, keeps the sort of, you know, the pressure off him a wee bit. It's not going to change many people's opinion of him regardless. You know, I don't think people are going to be changed. Football fans are fickle, but I don't think people are going to change their opinion on him in two games. But, you know, he's definitely needing to pick up at least 4 points in the next six, for him to give himself more time, basically. But I don't see how we're going to do that if we're unwilling to change and we're just as shite as usual, because I don't think I've seen us look as bad in the final third for years. We've always had somebody who can play up front, who's got a wee bit of a, you know, a wee bit of something about them, whether it be flair, whether it be a goal scorer, you know, and they fit into, you know, Ryan Bowman, Curtis Main, Danny Johnson, whatever, because I don't necessarily think it's all down to them. You know, they might have their faults, but the way we're playing, we're creating absolutely fuck all, and I don't see that changing, and I just don't, honestly, I don't know what the answer is, to be honest with you.
Andrew, would you say this is more Robinson being stubborn, or would you argue that it's maybe that Robinson doesn't have a plan B? It's often said that he's far too rigid in his ways, but does Robinson have a counter to the problems that we've got throughout the team just now?
Well, it doesn't come across as if he does. I think... have you seen, like, as you have seen over the past few results, he keeps going on about how he wants his, like, main players to stand up and play better, but at the same time he keeps picking the same players and they continuously underperform and let them down. I think I went last Saturday to watch the Colts. I think everyone on the podcast today did as well. I think when we see that and how they've developed and how they're playing, questions sort of get asked, like, why can they not be bodied into the first team? Obviously, Turnbull started yesterday, and he was my man of the match. And we talk about how we don't create chances going forward. I thought he was probably our only asset going forward, holding the ball up, playing it wee flick-ons, but it didn't really seem to get to Maynard Bowman up the top. But, I can't... His plan B isn't really there. We just either sit back and just, if it's against a bigger team, soak it up. But see, going forward, there's absolutely nothing. Buster touched on it later on. No disrespect to Main or Bowman, but they're not natural goal scorers. What I've seen of Johnson, I've been impressed with. And it's kind of frustrating that you don't really see him on the pitch as much. I don't know if he'll make that much of a difference. But if you get your players, creative players like Biggie, or if you keep Turnbull in the lineup, I'm just, the fingers crossed, as chances will start to fall and your Mains and Bowmans will get on that score sheet at the end of the day.
Yeah, I don't think there's not going to be anything drastic done at for part, that's for sure. But you'd have to think that there will now be questions being asked of the manager behind the scenes as well, because you look at the fixtures beyond that game against Dundee on the 3rd of November, and we're in for a really, really tough run into the winter break. I think it's 10 games, the majority coming against teams that finished in the top six last season. Included in that is two games against Celtic, a trip to Ibrox as well. We've not beaten a team that finished in the top six since November of last year, so we're almost a year from winning against a side that finished above us last season. So that's cause for concern as well as you head into these games. And I think there has to be questions whether Robinson's the man to get the best results from the team during that very tricky period.
I think that's it. I mean, it's almost kind of looming over everything. You know, we said earlier about these three games and how they'd been identified as really important. I suppose four, you know, Buster obviously mentioned the kind of four of them, including Livy. And I think that's why, because everybody obviously now realises that, you know, we aren't good enough to get very many points out of that stretch of games over December. I mean, even if we were kind of, you know, scraping wins here or there, it is an absolutely tragic array of games. And when you look at it, you know, the kind of the teams that you may be able to edge wins against, or you would like to think you could, you know, against Livy, against St Johnstone, even against Accies, they're all away games. So they become even harder anyway. Really, the only game out of that lot that I think you could go in with any confidence would perhaps be St Mirren at home. And even then, we're yet to play them. So we're yet to really know where we match up alongside them. I mean, it's absolutely not out with the realms of possibility that by Hogmanay we could be cast adrift at the bottom of the league, because we are playing like you know, at a side that could quite easily go down. As I said earlier, teams that know how to play against us will get results. You know, Livingston, I said when we did the podcast after the Livy game that Livingston would have been absolutely delighted with that point. It's easy to kind of go, but they're flying, they should have taken all three. But their main priority is safety. They came for a point, they got it. St Johnstone turned up, and yes, they were poor. But one of the reasons they were poor was because they matched his man for man, turned it into a shit fest, and basically time wasted for a 0-0, and then late on, sensed blood and went and won it. I mean, as a away performance for a team who have been struggling so far this season, like St Johnstone, it was perfect. You know, yes, they were poor, but they executed coming to Firth Park absolutely perfectly. And because of that, I believe they probably fully deserved the 3 points, even although we maybe edged it on possession for the first hour. It's just really, really frustrating because, as I said earlier, if we were playing well, if we were maybe going out, you know, with, you know, a back four, and we were playing reasonably well, and, you know, maybe a couple of personnel were missing, and or we just weren't getting the break, or whatever it was, you could maybe then think, right, okay, our luck may turn. But I just don't see where we're going to go. I mean, you know, we will go to St Mirren and we will play 3-5-2. We will welcome Dundee to Firth Park and we will go 3-5-2. We will then go into that absolutely terrible run of games. And by and large, we will play 3-5-2 unless we've got a visit to Pittodrie where we'll go 4-3-3, which seems to be the only time we actually deviate for the 3-5-2. It's mind-numbing. It's absolutely mind-numbing. In terms of Stephen Robinson, I said prior to these three games that I was not in the camp of Robinson out, and I said these three games I would maybe come back to that question after them, so I'm not going to, you know, touch upon that just now because I feel I should leave it to after the Dundee game before looking at it. But it's just so hard to see where we go, because, you know, is this it, is this what we are going to be serving up for the rest of the season? I don't see any signs that it's not. So even if we do manage to grind out results against St Mirren and Dundee because they happen to be worse than we are, I just don't see what there is to look forward to, what progression there's going to be, how we can expect to, you know, take advantage of the business model of selling guys that we've brought up for England when they're playing absolutely, like, you know, terribly in a turgid formation, playing hoofball. You know, are we going to be able to develop young players into that team? Absolutely not. So I think there's a short-term and a long-term questions to be asked there. The short-term is, you know, will Robinson remain as manager? As I said, up until these three games, I've always said that I think he still deserves a wee bit more time, but we are now in that time. That injury time is now, and it's hard to see it turning around. And I think when you start to factor in all the other things, like the business model of selling these guys on, like the idea of bringing through youth development, we are failing in all those counts. And I just don't see where the light is at the end of the tunnel. Because even if we grind out results, you know, in the next couple of games, if we are going to continue to play the way we're playing, with the system that we're playing, with a complete stubbornness to actually change it, then this is what we are going to be, you know, treated to for the foreseeable future. And it's just not good enough.
Well, this has been a fairly depressing start to the podcast. we'll go and talk about something much more positive in the form of the Motherwell Colts team reaching the quarterfinals of the Ambrew Cup. An excellent performance and an excellent victory over Sligo Rovers, a 2-0 victory. Jay, I'll give you a chance to kind of bring the positivity back up after you took it to new lows with your last point there. Many good performances throughout the team, a very convincing victory against guys with more experience of playing first-team football. Next up, Ross County, a very difficult challenge for Stephen Craigan's team, but one that they'll relish and one that they'll go into as massive underdogs with with very little pressure on them. And that seems to be an environment they're able to express themselves and show that they're very, very good footballers.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, you've kind of touched upon it there. That's what I was saying earlier on. You know, when you watch somebody like David Turnbull, you know, he's obviously got that kind of gala streak, that confidence, that attitude that you need to make that step up. Because the David Turnbull, those wee flicks, the wee, you know, the wee touch off to Campbell for his shot, the ball over the top for Mayne, just his general, the way he conducted himself in the game he tried to play yesterday was exactly the same as how he played against Sligo. You know, it's not as though he cowers or he tries to do things differently. It's just unfortunate that he's surrounded by players who are not playing the same game. Or you know, the ball is just flying over his head far too often. So yeah, I think guys, when you have guys like Turnbull, like Hasty, like Livingston, you know, they are a joy to watch at times. They play football the right way. Stevie Craigan's got them all battling, but got them playing football the right way, getting the ball down. You know, that game against Sligo, there was one point in particular in the second half where I think it was Livingston, Hasty, Turnbull and Scott. And they just toyed, you know, down that left-hand side. They just absolutely toyed with Sligo, absolutely tore them to shreds. And let's not get too ahead of ourselves. Sligo were absolutely garbage. But it was a great performance, and it was just great. It was a nice bit of respite to actually go to Fir Park and watch some football, because it was the only time this season I think I've actually watched players in claret and amber playing positively, playing confidently, and actually playing football. And we kind of joked about it at the time, but you know, as Buster said earlier, it's an entertainment industry. If the under-20s games were moved to Saturdays, and what we are seeing from the first team was to continue, I would seriously consider just going and watching the under-20s, because the difference between the two is that stark.
Andrew, one of the standout performers for me was Christian Mbulu, who grabbed the second goal, a very composed, very big presence in the Motherwell backline. He looks like a player that I would say is ready to move into the first team, ready to challenge. There was quite a lot of press stuff done with him following the game. He kind of felt that he was making that progression into the first team. Is that someone you would expect to see in Stephen Robinson's starting 11, or at least on the subs bench in the coming weeks?
He's certainly got like the physical presence that you'd expect for a centre-back up in our league. And again, it's a bit worrying when our best finisher doesn't even make the starting line-up in the first team. I thought he played well against Sligo, albeit they are there, as Jay said, for a reason, at the bottom end of their league. But I thought, especially, he wins all the headers, which is, again, you kind of expect what a centre-half would do. He's definitely staked his claim for Robinson, because I watched the highlights for the Dunfermline and the reserves game as well. Obviously, it's just highlights, but from what I've seen, he played quite well, got himself an article. So I'd imagine he'd be definitely one of these players knocking at Robinson's door. And it wouldn't just be him. I'd argue that for just about every player that played against them. Sligo, I thought there wasn't one person you could say that had a bad game. And I guess the standard ovation from the 900-odd Motherwell fans kind of said it all. The way they played, the way they sort of have that understanding between one another, it was just a pleasure to watch. And hopefully Robinson kind of takes notes, and we'll see them feature in the future.
Buster, what we've got to see is a pathway into the first team for these young guys. I don't think anyone expects, although I'm pretty sure a few were suggesting in the pub after the game yesterday that we throw them all in at the deep end. But there has to be a pathway from the Colts team, from the reserves teams, into the first team. And that far too often hasn't been the case. You look at the likes of David Turnbull and Barry Maguire, who have been given opportunities sporadically towards the end of the season. Turnbull, a guy he's been here for a while. He was part of that youth team that won the Youth Cup. That was, what, 2-3 years ago now? So he's been almost kind of chapping at the door for quite some time. I hope that yesterday's inclusion in the team isn't just going to be a token gesture and we see him get on a run of games, because for me it's no use putting him in against Partick Thistle and Hamilton Accies towards the back end of the previous season and then just disregard him a long spell of time. It must be something that kind of drains your confidence, drains your morale. And when you're a young player at Motherwell, you're having to look back to Chris Cadden and Alan Campbell as examples of young guys that have been given their opportunity and remained in the team. David Turnbull hasn't been afforded that opportunity. Barry Maguire hasn't been. And the fact that Christian Mbeumo wasn't on the bench yesterday suggests that he's going to be pretty far down the pecking order as it stands.
I thought we'd, you know, yesterday we'd done coming back and stuff. I didn't realise, you know, he was as close as it. Well, obviously, I didn't realise he was back basically. So I thought we'd maybe see Barry Maguire yesterday, but you know, it didn't come about. You know, I never made the Sligo game, unfortunately, because I've heard it was the best Motherwell performance this season. So you know, it's fitting that I would miss it. But you know, I heard nothing but good things. Obviously, you know, there's the odd highlights. I see there's people raving about guys like Jake Hastie as well. So I know he's out on loan, a development loan to, I think it's until January. But you know, it'd be interesting to see if these guys are. You know, they're doing well for us. It'd be interesting if these guys are maybe catching the eye of the first team managers and coaches to see what's what. But as you said, to have somebody like, for example, David Turnbull come in last season, play well in the last couple of games when we had a bit of breathing space, fair enough, and it's the end of the season, things are sort of, you know, dwindling down a bit, but came in, played really well, and as you say, was never really seen again. So that was, as you say, that was disappointing. I'm not usually a sort of big, you know, bring through. We have to bring through youngsters. I'm not usually sort of, if they're good enough, you know, they'll be included. But I do actually believe that David Turnbull is good enough and should be included. There's and again, I don't mean us in a disrespectful way. I don't think there's many people in that Motherwell team who can pass the ball 5 yards, who are confident enough to take the ball, you know, and come looking for it, then to give it back to somebody or to go look and make a wee pass. I think there's two, David Turnbull and Bigger, whatever the fuck his name is, Biggie. He's you know, he came in and he's made his passes and stuff, but he's made a bit of an arse at times as well, so he's found himself in and out of the team. David Turnbull, I think, fully deserves to be starting next week. You know, there's, as you said, he's a young boy. There's going to be inconsistencies in his game, but he's certainly not shown any yet. So why don't we, you know, he's hot in the new, why don't we just keep playing with him, stick with him, see what happens? But I don't know what's happening with the left-hand side. Yeah, again, coming back to the Sligo game, everybody was raving about Adam Livingston. I can't really comment on him myself. I've seen him once or twice, and it was maybe even two seasons ago the last time I seen him for the first team. But he seems to be well thought of as well. If we don't have a left back, if we're trying other things other than Tate in there until ATS get injured, why no Guy Livingston a shout? And again, but like I say, I don't think there's any reason for us to throw them in for the sake of it, but you've got to think that going in the first team's performances, there's got to be one or two of them that are entering the manager's thoughts, but you know, that'll be something we'll have to wait and see.
We've talked about the mounting pressure and Stephen Robinson and Colin O'Neill did little to do anything but flame the fire there with a absolutely bonkers interview in the Sunday Mail, a real dig at Stephen Robinson's style of play. Keith Lasley's role at the club was brought into question. It's been disregarded by Robinson, and quite rightfully so. Jay, I knew a cup winner at the club, but I would say that goodwill for this guy is pretty thin in the ground now. It's not the first time that he's been very controversial in his views. Some of the stuff that he said, absolutely no issue, but the kind of personal stuff seems completely unnecessary and pretty unhelpful at a time where the club are struggling, results on the park are poor. You don't need something like that in the mainstream media.
He's a roaster. I mean, that's it. He's a. We've all seen. We don't need to get into too much detail. We've all seen, like, on social media, and those of us who had the misfortune to kind of bump into him in Motherwell the night before the cup final in 2011. You know, he's an absolute roaster, and it's purely to keep himself relevant. He thinks he's owed something by the club. Still sees himself as the psycho of 1991. And wants to keep himself relevant. And to be honest, the very fact we're actually discussing him in the podcast is just giving him exactly what he wants.
I don't think we really need to add to that, to be perfectly honest. Disappointing stuff. Buster, you wonder, I don't even see why a newspaper is going to call Lineal for comments. It's not someone that follows the club closely. He doesn't attend games. What is it? You'd be as well phoning you or I. We're now talking, 27 years since the goal that made him a legend at Fir Park. He played for a couple of seasons, and what was a poor side as well. It's kind of overlooked the fact that Tommy McLean's team at times played some pretty horrendous football. It wasn't Barcelona-style tick-attack of football that we were getting treated to under Tommy McLean. He generated the reputation of psycho because he liked to smash folk, basically. This isn't I don't think Colin O'Neill would be out of place in a team that played hoofball, put it that way. But the personal attacks, I don't know if he seems to think that he's owed a job or a living from Motherwell Football Club. You remember, he retired at an early age. He got a testimonial from the football club. He's just a dick. That's basically it.
Yep. I don't think you could name four Motherwell players without looking them up on Wikipedia, to be honest with you. As you says, he's had, you know, he had a bit of a tough time with injuries and stuff, and he is sort of, you know, Jay's got it spot on, basically, but it's hard to put into words, because I think for us, you know, that cup winning team will all be legends in their own right. But he's a fucking, he's a waste of my energy talking about him. as Jay says, you've seen what he's done. You've seen what he's like. And again, his cup final place, I think it was one of you that even said this to me when it was spoke about. His cup final place was given to him, you know, as a basically as a goodwill gesture, and more than anything, whereas guys like John Philibin didn't get stripped for that cup final. I'll bet you any money the guy knows fuck all about Keith Lasley as well. He knows fuck all about Keith Lasley's job, and he knows fuck all about what Keith Lasley's doing. Keith Lasley's, you know, very good to us, speaks to us on a regular basis, great guy. You know, I think he's well thought of. He's got all his badges. You know, he's as I say, he's. I don't know nothing about his coaching abilities. He's no coaching me. He's certainly no coaching Colin O'Neill. Colin O'Neill's twice the weight of me. So I don't know what the fuck Colin O'Neill thinks. But as I say, Jay's right. There's no fucking point in talking about him.
The FC podcast is proudly brought to you by beer52.com. And as a listener to the show, we would like to reward you with a free case of craft beer. All you need to do is pay the $2.95 delivery. Head on over to beer52.com/MFC and order your free case today. Beer 52 is a 5-star rating in Trustpilot, so it's easy to see that their members love their service. So head on over now to beer52.com/MFC and order your case. Andrew, we'll finish up the podcast by discussing another success for the Motherwell ladies team, who reached the Scottish Cup final, second tier side. They've obviously won promotion to the top flight. A real success story, a fantastic achievement in reaching the final, where they'll face Hibs, who look set to have lost out in the SWPL 1 title. They lost today to Glasgow City. This is it's been a positive throughout the season. They've been undefeated on the park. You've had involvement through the social media work for the team. I think coming into it, I certainly had quite a lot of misconceptions about the women's game. They're now heading into the Showpiece Cup competition, the final. for Hill 2 weeks today. I would just urge Motherwell fans to get along and show some support for the team. It's very reasonably priced. In fact, if you go on to the SWF website just now, you can order 2 tickets for free. So if you don't make the deadline for that, you can also pay in for, I think it's £5 for adults, £2 for concessions. So it's very reasonably priced. And the quality, I think it will surprise a lot of people.
I think you're spot on. I've obviously been involved in it a wee bit less than you, but I must admit, before I was a bit skeptical of the quality of it. Better than me, obviously. But obviously, saying that, I've watched Motherwell this season, so I might just disregard that previous comment. But I think it's, if people actually go and take it for what it is, I don't think it's fair to like judge it against the Meals game. I think it's different. Obviously, it's not as physical, but technically, it'll surprise you how good they are. Obviously, Motherwell's been, it's been a tremendous season, to be honest. You can't fault the achievements. Going practically unbeaten with a side of an error in the teams and getting to this final as a second division team, it's nothing short of astonishing. And I think the management and the players have got a lot to be applauded for. And I think it's only right that Motherwell fans go and back the team. As you said, you can go for free before Halloween, and after that, it's for a very, very little price. And I think it's the least they deserve. I mean, put it this way, I'm making my way up from Wales the morning of the game to make kickoff. Obviously, I'm doing the social media, but I'd like to think I'd still be going regardless, because it's been good. It's been a dark season so far. And to go on a Sunday and see a Motherwell team at times put 5 or 6 goals into the net, it's brilliant. And to see a cup in the league with Claret and Aberdeen's down, it was fantastic. And again, it's another Scottish Cup final. It's a major achievement. I mean, I'm not going to say it's going to be an easy game by all means. I know Hibs lost today, but if you watch the game, they play some fantastic football and they are by far favourites. But if we play the way we can play and give the game to them, we could even nick a goal. And I'm not going to say we're going to win it or that, but it can be a really good game. And you never know. You can't write Motherwell off, especially when they're underdogs.
Yeah, it's at a time where the first team are really struggling for results. You've got the Colts and now the ladies team as well. It's wee bits of positivity that sometimes help get you through, hasn't it?
Well, that's it. I mean, again, particularly with the fact that, you know, the kind of the media output and the social media and things like that, you know, it's no longer a case of, you know, picking up scores for someone who might have been there or something like that, or reading about it in the programme on the Saturday. You know, you can, you know, the details are there, you can keep up to date. And you're right, at a time when the actual first team are, you know, within a relegation battle, and the you know, the football they're serving up is chronic. You know, having those options to go and either watch the under-20s or the ladies team and know that you're going to actually see some positivity, see some good football, and see the chance of, you know, not just winning games but scoring a lot of goals and potentially winning trophies. So it's good to have that option. And hopefully, you know, both the, you know, the under-20s game that we mentioned earlier against County and the ladies cup final, hopefully there's a lot of Motherwell fans who take the opportunity to get along and get behind them.
Guys, I think that's pretty much all we've got for this week. I would normally preview the upcoming fixture, but given that that's over a week away, we'll have a podcast in between. There'll be no football to discuss weekend, so that'll possibly be in fact, message us on Twitter and tell us what we should discuss next week, because we have a pretty empty schedule otherwise. but I do really appreciate your time, guys. Thank you very much, and hopefully in the coming weeks we'll get more positive things to discuss, because it's pretty drab just now, isn't it?
Aye.
Well, I think that if you ask people, if you're asking people for a suggestion of what we should discuss, I think all we're going to get is who's our next manager.
Wow.
And on that bombshell.
Well, that's a spoiler alert there. No, we want something different from that. Like, the more ridiculous.
I know, I'm only suggesting. I'm only saying that people are going to suggest that.
We'll talk about
why don't we get together and we'll review a film?
No, because we'll spend the week arguing a film review.
I'll pick it, he's a fucked, I'll pick it. I'll pick something stupid.
We'll review Psycho, since that was a theme of the podcast.
Good shout.
Right, okay, well, we'll have this as a private conversation, because unlike other podcasts, we're not one big in-joke. Right, anyway. You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
Well, I've been sitting here all day. I've been sitting in this waiting room. And I've been waiting on my friends. Yes, I'm waiting on this conference call. All alone, and I'm on hold. Well, yes, I'm on hold. I hope it's not all day.
Hey,
well, I wonder where they are. Yes, I wonder where my friends have gone.
Where'd they go?
Tell me, where could they be while I'm waiting on this conference call?
I don't know.
Well, I'm holding on my phone. Yes, I'm holding on the line.
Hey!
I don't know where they are. I don't know why I'm still alone. I'm on hold.
Well, let me tell y'all a story about a man who was on hold all day. Yes, he was. Now, maybe he had the time wrong, and maybe he didn't. There's just no way for me to say. And yes, I have seen some long hold times in my day. Yes, I have. And this was one of the worst. Now, this young man did not hang up the telephone, and you guess what happened? Ah, yeah, that call began. That call started.
So stay on hold. You gotta stay on hold. Don't go.